It's always good to be found in the presence of the Lord, amen. And what better to do it together as a family of God? And I really believe that every single day, you know, there is a brand new invitation from the Lord for us to draw closer into His presence, for us to abide in His presence, for us to be one with Him. And I believe that this is where Calvary Community Church is going, that we will be a church of worship, that we will be a church that will host His presence well, that we will be a church that will be carriers of His glory. Can I hear an amen, please, this morning? How many of you are excited to be in the house of God? Okay, some of you in front, God bless you. How many of you are really excited to be here? Come on, come on. Because I know that even as you are excited and expectant, even as you come here this morning with a purpose, know for sure that God will speak to you. When we raise our expectation, when we come before into the house of the Lord and knowing that God will speak to me, how many of you know that God will speak to you? If you just come here and sit down and just think that, okay, pastor's going to preach, he's going to speak for 20, 30 minutes, and after that, I'm going to go back, then let me tell you something, it shall be it for you, all right? So if you came here with an expectation, thinking that God, you will speak to me, let me tell you something, God will speak to you. Even as you leave from this place after the service, I'm very sure that you will be blessed, not because of the preaching, not because of what I'm saying, but because the Lord is in the midst of us, amen? When two or three are gathered in my name, that is His word. When two or three are gathered in my name, I will be in the midst of them. So know for sure that this morning, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and Jesus is in the midst of us. Amen. And church, before I jump in into the word of God, I just want to do something very quickly. I want to pray for Sister Manjit. You know, a brother, Samjit's a mother. She's right now in the ICU. She's not doing very well because of sepsis. Yeah, so doctor said that there is only a 50-50 chance of coming out from the ICU. So church, can we just pray and intercede for Sister Manjit right now? Why don't you just lift up your hands towards heaven? Let's just pray for Sister Manjit. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are a miracle working God. You are a God who heals. You are Jehovah Rapha. And Lord, Father, we just declare right now over Sister Manjit. We declare life right now. We call her to come out of the ICU right now, Lord Father, and we just release your healing anointing, Father. Lord, whatever the doctor has said over her, Lord, that there is a 50-50% chance, God, you are the life giver, and we just proclaim life over her right now, and in these coming days, God, that we will see, Lord Father, her condition being totally transformed, Lord Father, that she will walk out healthily from the ICU, and that she will be fine, and she will bring testimonies to you, Lord Father. Lord Father, we thank you for Sister Manjit. Bless Samji and the family and all the brothers and sisters, and as well as the entire family, God. Lord, keep them safe. Watch over them, God. Give them strength during this time, Lord Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everyone say amen, amen. Church, before I jump into the Word of God, I just want to share with you some testimonies. Is okay? Is that okay? You know, we always like to celebrate what God is doing in our midst, you know, because God is always on the move. Right? God is always on the move. And it's always good when God is on the move, we are on the move too. You know, it will be a bit weird for us if God is on the move and we still stay stagnant. Right? So I just want to share with you some testimonies from our youths. Okay? From our youths, from Youth Outbreak. And 2 weeks ago, I think more than 2 weeks ago, a couple of us, together with the leaders, we were just praying and we just really felt that the Lord was leading us into a time of fasting and praying. You know, we don't know why, but we just felt like the Lord was leading us into a time of fasting and praying, and some of the pastoral team confirmed together with us, and we just felt that we need to fast and pray. We need to start taking ownership and responsibility over what is happening in our lives. Because every time when something bad happens, we just blame the devil. When something bad happens, we just blame the enemy. We just blame, you know, Mr. S.A. Tan. You know, every single time when something bad happens, you know, we always blame outside rather than to know that we have the power and the authority where Jesus has already given us to take ownership of what's going on. So I really, really felt in my heart that as the generation, the young generation, we need to start fasting and praying to take ownership and take responsibility over what's going on. You know, even in Mark chapter 1, you know, in Mark chapter 1, the story after Jesus, he was baptized in the water. How many of you know this story? After Jesus was baptized in the water, the heavens was opened. The Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon Jesus' shoulder. And he heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son. You are my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased." Right? But do you realize that in the next verse, it says immediately he was led into the wilderness. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? Sometimes we think that when we are in the wilderness season, it's the devil. we feel stuck. We feel stagnant. We don't see our breakthrough yet. We blame it on the devil. We blame it on the enemy. But church, this is what I want all of us to realize. Sometimes it is not the enemy that puts you in the wilderness. Sometimes it is the Holy Spirit. Just like in Mark chapter 1 verse 12, he says that immediately the Spirit, it was the Holy Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. So sometimes we need to realize that in the wilderness, there is a purpose and there is a reason. You know, not everything is the enemy. Not everything is Satan. Not everything we can blame it. We are giving too much credit to the devil, church. We are giving way too much credit to the enemy for what he's not even doing. And you know, we are highlighting the enemy is doing this in my life. You know, devil is doing this in my life. But hey, let's stop giving credit to the enemy. But let's respond to what God is doing in our lives. And let's remember that not every single wilderness season, it is by the enemy. But it is sometimes God has placed us in the wilderness so that we will have a total dependence on Him. How many of you know that as a life of a believer, we are called to live a life of total dependence in the Spirit? That is why in Romans, it says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How many of you sons and daughters of God say amen? That's right. We, as sons and daughters of God, we are called to be led by the Spirit of God. It is our nature to hear our Father's voice, to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen. So I want to urge every single one of us this morning that if you do not know what direction you're supposed to take in the next season, you're having a business deal, but you do not know what to do. You do not know what to do in terms of your marriage and your family. Let me tell you something. It is the Lord who directs your step. It is the Lord that will lead you and guide you. It is the Holy Spirit that will shine the path for your life. Can I hear an amen, please? And I want to share these few testimonies that even as we started our fasting and prayer, today marks our last day. Okay, today marks our, some of the youths are back there celebrating. Okay, finally I can eat. You know, today marks day 14. We are doing a 2 weeks fast. And I just had a conversation and some fellowship with some of the youths on Friday. And I was just checking on them. How was the fast? How was the prayer? Because more than 80% of them, they have never fasted and prayed before. Okay, they have never fasted and prayed before. It's either they prayed or they fast, but they fast because they want to lose weight. Okay? Not for the sake of seeking the Lord. Not for the sake of seeking for breakthroughs, right? So I was just having a conversation with them from I was like, hey guys, you know, from starting of the fast and prayer from day one until now, like, what's happening in your life? Why don't you share it together with me? And I want to share it with you. One of the young gentlemen, right, one of the young men, he shared with me that before he started his fasting and prayer, before he started fasting, this is what he prayed. He said, "God, I just desire one thing. I desire that I will not be angry easily." Because he felt that he has a temper problem. How many of you have temper problem? Don't put up your hand. He felt that he always get angry. You know, a little bit things, you know, agitates him, you know, very easily angered, you know, his temperament is always ups and always downs, you know, very easily emotional. And he just prayed the prayer, "God, I want, as I pray and fast, God, help me not to be easily angered." And he shared with me, even in the start of the fasting and prayer from day one, and I spoke to him on Friday, it was day 12, you know, he said that from the starting of day one, he was surprised that when he started the fasting and prayer, from that day onwards, he was cool as a cucumber. He was so chill, he was surprised himself that how come he did not, you know, he did not get angry, he was not easily angered, his temperament wasn't, you know, fluctuating up and down, but he was so cool. He said, in his words, "Pastor, very chill, Pastor, very chill." I was like, chill, huh? Okay, put yourself in the freezer and chill yourself. You know, very chill, very cool, you know. And he said that, I don't know why, but I feel very different. I feel very different. And I feel myself being so cool, and I find myself drawing close to the presence of God each time. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. You know, and he felt like that was already a breakthrough there. And another gentleman, another young boy, he shared with me. He said, Pastor, I want to be real with you. I've been struggling with some addictions, and I want to see a breakthrough in that addictions. And I don't mind sharing with you. I've been struggling with pornography for the last few years, and I really want to get out from it. You know, and he shared with me and he said, Pastor, I want to see a breakthrough. And he said, from day one to day 12, even until day 12, he said that desire to go into all these materials, to go into yielding to all these, you know, lustful things, all right, has ceased. He said he felt that there was no longer that desire to go and watch all these things, to do things that doesn't please God. And I'm like, come on, man. There's something to celebrate. There is something powerful that God is doing. And another young boy, he just said, Pastor, I just want one thing. I said, what is that one thing? I just want more of the presence of God. And he shared with me on day 12, he said that, Pastor, I do not know why, but after I started fasting and praying, I read my Bible as normal. I prayed as normal. I worship as normal. But somehow, the duration that I'm spending with the Lord has increased. Somehow, I find myself being planted in the presence of God longer than usual. Somehow, I just feel that desire to read more of the Word of God each day. Come on, church, can we celebrate all these victories of these youths? Because let me tell you something. Even as we celebrate the victory of others, those victories can be our victories as well. And I believe that this morning, there are some of us, right? We are sitting here, we are also seeking for certain breakthroughs in our life. We are seeking for breakthroughs in our marriages. We are seeking breakthroughs in our finances. We are seeking breakthroughs in our career or even in direction. But let me tell you something. The same God that gave them the breakthroughs, whether it's true, you know, spending more time with God, or whether it's true having no desire, a ceased desire to go into pornographic materials, or whether it's to, you know, go to speak vulgarity, all that. That same God that gave them the breakthrough is the same God they will give you your breakthrough. Amen. So I believe that this morning, I want to declare this over you. Regardless of what you're going through, remember that He is the God of breakthroughs. He is the God of breakthroughs. Whatever breakthroughs that you need is found in Him. As we pursue, as we seek after His heart, even as we go after Him, let me tell you something. You will not fall short. You will not be the losing end. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11, he says, For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. If some of you are thinking, God, I do not know what my future holds, I feel hopeless, let me tell you something. The plan of God is always full of hope. The plan of God is always full of faith. The plan of God is always full of a future for you. So if you are sitting here and you're wondering how your future holds, let me tell you something. Your future is in good hands because your future is in His hands. Can I hear an amen, please? Come on, can I hear an amen, please? That's right, that's the God that we serve. And this morning, I want to go into the Word of God, and it's going to be a very short word. I say this because when I say short message, you'll be happy, okay? But basically, I want to share a short word with you, and I'm just going to anchor this message on just three verses. Everybody say three verses. I'm going to anchor this message on just three verses. And can we have 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. All right, today my message will be taken from the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Come on, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Rejoice always. Next, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I entitle my short, sweet, powerful message this morning, be joyful, be prayerful, and be thankful. Be joyful, be prayerful, and be thankful. If you notice, right, it says rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. What does it mean? It means that rejoicing always is the will of God.
pray without ceasing is the will of God, right? And in everything, give thanks. The attitude of gratitude is the will of God for our lives. And I believe that these three simple truths, these three foundations will be the keys for us to live out a victorious life in Jesus' name. Amen. And I love how the first point, right, it actually directs us to this verse in verse 16. It says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. So what does it mean to rejoice always? It means that no matter what you're going through, my friend, no matter whether you're having a good day, a bad day, or even it's the worst day of your life, choose to partner with joy. Choose to rejoice always at all times. Psalms chapter 118, verse 24. It says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Some of us has been singing this song, this is the day that the Lord has made, for 20 or 30 plus years. And some of us have been is very sick and tired of that song. Some of us still enjoy that song very much. But every time when we sing this song, this is the day that the Lord has made, do you know how much weight we are actually declaring over the atmosphere? We're actually declaring that no matter what I'm going through this day, no matter what may come my way, I am going to declare that today is the day that God has made for me, and I will rejoice. I will rejoice regardless of what happens. If something bad happens, no matter what, I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. Many times we even refer this song as, or this phrase as Pastor Boy's favorite verse. Because every time, right, when Pastor Boy sings or when he prays, right, he will surely sing, this is the day. Surely, you know, you ask him his favorite song, his favorite verse. And I always go to Pastor Boy, hey, Pastor Boy, you want to sing, this is the day? You know, I always will go and make a joke with him. But more than it being a verse, more than it being a song, why do we need to rejoice and be glad in it? Why do we need to declare that this is the day that the Lord has made and rejoice and be glad in it? Let me tell you something, church. Because when every single time when you declare that today is the day that God has made, I'll rejoice and be glad, you know what you're doing? You're choosing to partner with joy. You're choosing to partner with joy. You're choosing to partner with the Spirit of the Lord, pushing back the forces of darkness and allowing His presence to manifest over our entire day so that our day will come to an alignment with heaven. Can I hear an amen, please? It is the will of God for us to rejoice always. But let me tell you something, church. Rejoicing always is not putting a smile wherever you go. It's not that, okay? God is not asking you to be a psycho. God is not asking you to be a cracko, you know? Whatever you do, just smile. You know, just smile like a cracko. You know, can you imagine how weird it's going to be? You'll say, oh, well, Pastor, God asked me to rejoice always, so I just smile like that. In everything, I just smile like that. Can you imagine how weird it's going to be? Or example, you lose your job. Marriages are failing. Somebody passed away. People think you're crazy. You're a cracko. You know in Hokkien what I call this? Siawa. Really? You're a cracko. I'm not, God is not asking you to be a psycho or a cracko. But God is saying that regardless of what's happening, rejoice always. Even when situations are not looking right for you right now. Even when things are going south for you right now. Rejoicing always doesn't mean that you are living a worry-free life. No, no, no. Don't get me wrong, church. Rejoicing always is not living a worry-free life. Rejoicing always is in the worry. In the worry, we still choose to rejoice. We choose to choose joy because knowing that God has the final say, that God's plan for me is indeed good, is to prosper me and not to harm me, is to give me a hope and a future. That is why I can rejoice. That is why I can be joyful. Regardless of my problem, regardless of my situation, I choose joy. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, I choose joy. There is a big difference, church, between feeling happy and having joy. Feeling happiness is an emotion, right? Happiness is an emotion. Somebody buy you a car. Woo! You feel happy. Wives, when your husband buy you new handbags, branded handbags, woo! You know, you feel happy, you feel excited. There is a emotion. But joy is not just an emotion, it is a position. It is a choice to choose joy. It is a conscious decision that you make as a believer to choose joy every single day. That is why when Jesus said, rejoice always, and in this I say rejoice. Rejoice means what? Choose joy. Choose joy regardless of what you're going through. Choose joy. Even when you're not going through, you know, even when you're going through a difficult situation, when things are not coming around for you, after you have prayed for so long, your breakthrough has not yet come. You, my friend, as sons and daughters of God, still can remain joyful because you know that the one living in you is greater than the one outside of you. Can I hear an amen, please? God has the final say. And know that God will always have your back. God will always have your back. That is why in John 16, it says that in this world, you have trials and tribulation. You will have. God already preempted you. God already told you. Don't even some you know, some new believers, when you speak to them, right, they will ask you this question. Pastor, after receiving Jesus, does that mean that my life will not have problem? I wanted to say, no, you have more problem. No, I didn't say that. You know, I said, no, it doesn't mean that your life will not have problem, but in the trials and in the tribulations, remember this, what the Lord says, take heart. Take heart, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That is why in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. No matter what you're going through, my friend, choose to rejoice. Choose to have joy. Even when everything is coming against you, rejoice. Even when things are not working out, choose to rejoice. And church, I want to share with you a revelation this morning. We don't rejoice when we have joy. Some of us think that, oh, we only can rejoice when we have joy in our life. But let me tell you something. We don't rejoice when we have joy. Sometimes we have to rejoice so that we get joy. Let me say that again. We don't rejoice just because we have joy. You know, then it's situational. It's dependent on something. But sometimes we have to rejoice so that we get joy in our lives. So that we are telling our circumstances that say, hey, He is the God of my life. You are not the God of my life. We are actually pushing back the influences of the enemy. How many of you know that our lives, we are called to live in response to what the Father is saying and doing, not in reaction? Every single time when something bad happens, the enemy is looking for a reaction out from you. He's looking for a reaction. But let me tell you something. You are not called to live in reaction, but you are called to live in response to what the Father is saying and doing. Can I hear an amen, please? That is why in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Come on, church. Say it together with me. The joy of the Lord is your strength. When you are weak, church, you can rejoice, knowing that He says that He will be your strength. You will be your strength. Your trials are temporary, church. Your trials are temporary. But your triumph is permanent. Your triumph in Jesus is permanent. Seasons may come and go. Challenges and trials and tribulations may come and go. But the triumph of the Lord is sealed forever and ever and ever. Amen. 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 And I really believe that is why the Lord says, rejoice always, for this is the will of God. Number two, very quickly, number two, right? It says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing, for this is the will of God for you. What does praying without ceasing mean? It's not asking you to pray and don't stop forever until you go to heaven. You know, some of us maybe really have that gift to pray and nonstop. You know, you can pray until Jesus comes. God bless you. God bless your heart. Teach me. You know, but that's not what praying without ceasing means. Praying without ceasing is not just about praying 1 hour. It's not just about praying, oh, God hears my prayer, then I stop. That's not what praying without ceasing means. in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. It literally means pray until you experience something lifted. Pray until you experience a breakthrough. Something started to happen while you're praying. Do you know that when you pray, there is a divine exchange that is happening within the heavenly realm and the earthly realm? When you pray, a divine exchange is happening. You may think that you are just praying some things that are happening in your life. But do you know that when you pray and when you surrender, what is actually happening in your life? A divine exchange happens. God takes what you are feeling burdened. God takes your worry and He gives you His peace. He gives a divine exchange towards you. He gives you His joy. He gives you His delight. And I love what Jeff shared yesterday. He said that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart. The peace that surpasses all understanding. Sometimes we try to understand the peace of God. But let me tell you something. You're not supposed to understand because you can't understand. You can't understand. That's why it's called the peace that surpasses all understanding. When you have the peace that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart, let me tell you, that is how the Lord is leading you and guiding you as a shepherd. That is how God is leading you and guiding you as a friend. We are all called friends of God. Amen? Are you still here with me, church? Or are you sleeping off? Please don't sleep off. I love you, church. Please love me back. All right? Prayer is communing with the heart of God. It is a communion. Every single time when we go into a time in a secret place where we spend time with the Lord, it is not just a duty as a believer. It is not just a dumping, you know, a place where we dump all our burdens, all our worries, and all our prayers unto God. It's not a dumping ground. God is not a dumping ground, all right? He's not a one, it's not a touch and go. We touch and then we go. We leave our prayer there and then we go. No. Prayer is not a touch and go, but prayer is a constant communion with God. As we are sitting in the presence of the Lord, even as we commune with Him, we are hearing His heart. We are yielding ourselves towards His will so that His will be done over our lives. That is why when Jesus taught His disciples to pray, He said, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As we pray, we are called to pray for His kingdom to come on earth, over our situation, over our family, over our career, over our businesses, over our relationship. His kingdom come. His will be done on that, on whatever that you're going through, on earth as it is in heaven. What does it mean? It means that our reality is supposed to look like heaven's reality. As a believer, that is how our reality is supposed to look like. Our reality is supposed to mimic the reality of heaven. That is why Jesus said, pray. Go into your room, pray. Close the door. Seek my face. And the Lord who sees you in secret will reward you openly. Prayer is communing with the heart of God. It is active partnership with God. When you pray, you are partnering with God. You are partnering with God. When we pray, we are praying for His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many of you know that when we pray, He moves? When we pray, He moves. Your prayer moves the hands of God. Your prayer does the things that you cannot do. We don't just pray for the sake of praying, church, but we pray to see the manifestation of His power coming through our lives over our situation. That is why we pray. We pray that so that His kingdom will come, that we will see the manifestation of His power and His glory over our lives. That is why in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, what does it say? He says, ask. The key is here, ask. Some of us, we don't ask. Some of us, we just go into prayer and say, "God, I'm going through this. God, I'm going through that." And we come out from the prayer. Ask, my friend, what do you need? Ask from the Lord. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. It will be open to you. That is the promises of the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. He says what? Call upon me and I will answer you. It is the promise of the Lord. When you call upon the name of the Lord, He will definitely answer you. Not just answer you, but at the same time, in the same verse, He says, and I will show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Great and mighty things which you do not know. And that is why we ought to pray without ceasing. Amen. And number three, very quick, right? Number three. Some of you are already thinking about lunch. Okay, let's go. Number three. You good, church? Give me a smile this morning. Remember, rejoice always. Don't look so serious, okay? Some of you look so serious, I also get scared. Number three, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It is the will of God for you to have the attitude of gratitude. Everybody say, attitude of gratitude. Oh, bless five of you. Everybody say, attitude of gratitude. Come on, church. Attitude of gratitude. That's right. Giving thanks to God is such a vital thing as a believer. But many of us overlook this. You know, we overlook this to give thanks to God in everything that He has blessed us with in our daily life. But let me tell you something. Do you know how powerful it is to give thanks? It is so powerful because when you give thanks, it is not just the will of God in your life, but when we are thankful in everything, we honor God. We honor God. Thankfulness honors God. Thankfulness honors God. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, it says that for all things are for your sake, not for His sake. He does not benefit, church. Everything is for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. In the big things, we thank God. In the little things, we also thank God. When we are in the mountain high, we thank God. In the valley low, we also thank God. Some of us, we find it easy to thank God when things are going well. Right, church? It's so easy to thank God. God, you blessed me with some finances. You blessed me with a new job. You blessed me with such an awesome partner, life partner. You know, I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I'm grateful. It's so easy to thank God when all things are going well. But what about when things are not going well? Because the Bible says that in everything give thanks. Everything. What does everything mean? Do you know in Hebrew and in Greek, what does everything translate to? Everything. Everything translate to everything. So in everything means what? Regardless of your situation, in the good days, in the bad days, in the worst days, we are to give thanks to the Lord. Amen. We are to give thanks to the Lord. He is not just the God of the mountains. He is also the God of the valleys. Where there seems to be no way, God will make a way for us. He will make a way in the wilderness. He will form a river in the desert. That is the God that we serve. That is why in the Word of God, He even gave the commandment, right? He gave the command to be thankful twice. Okay, let's look at this. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 to 17. It says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Be thankful. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks." Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In this scripture, the Lord told us that we ought to live our life in the attitude of gratitude. And I really believe that being thankful is not just a command, but God is teaching us to see our situation from His perspective. Because when you are thankful for the things that He has already done, you're being thankful. You're really being thankful. But when you are being thankful for the things that are not yet done, let me tell you something. That's called faith. Being thankful in advance, even when you have not seen your breakthrough yet, let me tell you something. You are inviting His reality to become your reality. That is why it's so important for us to be thankful at all times. Good times, bad times, mountain high, valley low. We are thankful to the Lord. Psalms 100 verse 4 to 5. Can I have the worship team? Psalms 100, verse 4 to 5. He says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generation. I really believe that this morning, the Lord has given me this verse to anchor as a message, is so that we will align ourselves according to the Father's heart. That we will align ourselves so that we will walk in the will of the Father, to be joyful at all times, to pray without ceasing, and to be giving thanks in all situations, regardless of what we are going through. And I believe that this morning, He is reminding us that He is good, right? Verse 4 to 5, He says, for the Lord is good. God is a good God. Goodness is not just what He does. Goodness is who He is. His name is called good. God is good. Every time when we say, God, you are so good. God is good all the time, God is good. We are not just saying a Christian phrase in the church, but we are actually declaring the goodness of the Lord over our lives, that He is good all the time, regardless of what we are going through, regardless of what we are facing. Some of us has been sitting here, we have been praying for the same prayer, same breakthrough, for years and years and years, and we have still not received our breakthrough yet. Let me tell you something. Don't give up. I came here bearing the word of the Lord. Do not lose hope. Don't you give up on the Lord. He has not given up on you. If the Lord says it, He will do it. When the word of God is released through His mouth and through His word, it cannot return to Him void. It has to accomplish what it has set out to do. So if you have not seen your breakthrough yet, let this be an encouragement for you. Your best is yet to come. Your best is yet to come. You will see your breakthrough. You will see it come to pass. It is the promise of the Lord, because His promise are yes and amen. It's yes and amen. So don't give up just yet. Be steadfast. Be immovable. Trust in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Have hope and faith in Him always. And continue to stand firm in your faith. And my God will provide. My God will come true for you. And my God is the God who will break through for you. He is not just the God of breakthroughs. He is the God that will break through for you. He'll break down every wall. He'll break down every wall just to get to you. If you're far away from the Lord, if you feel that you have not been having a consistent prayer life with the Lord, He is a good Father. He will break down every wall just so that He can get to you. That is the God that we serve. That is the Father that we have. Can we stand to our feet this morning? I pray that this morning that every single one of us will know that through this three simple foundation, this three simple truth, that we will yield ourselves towards the Lord, that we will walk according to His will, that we will be a delight to Him as He has chosen us and seen us, see us as His delight.
God, You're so good.
Can we declare this as a family?
And God, You're so good.
God, You're so good.
God, You're so good. You're so
God, You're so good.
God, You're so good. God, You're
just minister to you this morning.
God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Oh God, you're so good.
God, you're so good.
He's good to you.
God, you're so good.
You're so good.
God, you're so good. You're so good to
me. Come on, as a family, let's declare the bridge together.
I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name.
Highly favored,
anointed, filled with your power for the glory.
Let's declare, God, you're so good.
God, you're so good.
God, you're so good.
God, you're so good.
So good.
God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Come on, let's just take the next few seconds and just allow His goodness just rest upon us. Let His goodness just rest upon you right now, church. If you're feeling not worthy, if you're feeling that God is far away from you, let me tell you something right now, that He is a good Father. He wants to be good to you. He wants to be good to you. He's drawing Himself close to you right now. This morning, I want you to know that God is not angry with you. God is not far away from you. He loves you more than you can think and imagine. And He wants to manifest His goodness over you. He wants to show up in your life in its goodness. Father, I thank you for your presence, Lord. I thank you that in all season, sometimes we may not have enough faith to believe, but God, you are always good. At all times, you are always good. So I declare this morning over your people that we will see the goodness of the Lord in our lives, in every part of our lives, Jesus. Lord, in the places we have been praying for a breakthrough for years and years, months and months, weeks and weeks, Jesus. Lord, we will still continue to stand firm, hold on to you, and not be worried or weary, knowing that God, you are a good God, and you will be good to us, Jesus. Father, I thank you for this morning, that you are reminding us to be joyful, to be prayerful, and to be thankful. For this is the will of God. This morning we want to partake the communion together. So if you can, why don't you unpack your communion? If you do not have a communion cup, just lift up your hand. The ushers will come forward and he will pass you your communion. Anyone else need a communion cup? Anyone else? You can raise your hand. Yep, at the back there. At the back on the right side. Yep. We're just going to give a few more seconds. That's right. Jesus.
so good. God, you're so
holding the cup and the bread in your hands. Father, with this morning, we are thankful that we can partake the communion as a family. We ask of you to bless this communion, Father. Bless this emblem, Lord Jesus, that even as we partake it this morning, remind us that your goodness is forever, that your goodness is towards us, that, Lord, that by your stripes, Lord Jesus, our healing, our breakthroughs, and our miracles is done and finished on the cross. We thank you, Father, for the communion. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. In 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, verse 23 onwards, on the night when Jesus was betrayed, after he had given thanks, he broke the bread and he gave it to his disciple and said, "This bread signifies my broken body. As often as you eat this bread, do this in remembrance of me until I return." In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, he says, "For he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for iniquities. And the punishment of our peace was upon him. And by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed." As a family of God, let's partake of the bread together. Likewise, in the same manner, after supper, he had given thanks. He said to his disciple and said, "This cup signifies the new covenant that I've made through my blood. As often as you drink this cup, do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake of this cup in faith. You can put your cups down. Why don't you lift your hands towards heaven? And let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that whatever breakthroughs, whatever miracles, whatever healing, or whatever prayer, Lord Father, that we are having, Lord, right now in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord Father, that you are the God who answers our prayer. You are the God of miracles and you are the God of breakthroughs. And I just declare this over your people. I pray, Lord Father, that they will see, Lord Father, even as they are giving thanks, even as they are praying without ceasing, even as they are joyful at all times, Lord, they will see their breakthrough at hand, Lord Father. They will see their miracles come to pass. They will see their healing taking place, God. And I declare this over your people. They are highly favored, they are deeply loved, and they are tremendously blessed. I declare this over your people. They are the head and not the tail. I bless them abundantly, Lord. May this week be a week full of your blessings, full of favor, and full of your presence, Jesus. We thank you for your awesome presence in this place. We bless your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we ask and we pray, and everyone say, amen, amen. Come on, can we give the Lord a mighty clap? Amen, amen, amen.